Hey, thank you for listening to my podcast. Now, if you're looking for help scaling your e-commerce business or advertising campaigns on Facebook and other platforms, then I want to invite you for a free strategy session. We help entrepreneurs scale from six figures to seven figures and even to eight figures with their e-commerce businesses. So if that's what you're looking for, then I want to invite you. There should be a link somewhere here so you can apply for a free strategy call and we'll see how we can help you out. Hey guys, Alex Fedotov here, and today we have a very special guest. We have Adam Epstein, and he's VP of Mergers and Acquisitions with Boosted Commerce, where this company acquires businesses on a scale, specifically Amazon businesses, and we'll go into detail what type of businesses in case you want to sell your business. And Adam, thank you so much. I know you're a very busy man, so thank you so much for making time for this.
Thank you for having me. Happy to chat and appreciate being here.
And we just had like a brief chat before this, and I was asking kind of like, what are the main businesses, main industries that you guys are focused on for the acquisitions?
Yeah, so we are looking at e-commerce businesses, primarily starting with Amazon, but also building out the DTC Shopify side of things, and really thinking about international marketplaces as well. We're at about 40 brands at the moment. Our criteria, we're looking for brands at this point that are doing $500,000 plus SDE or EBITDA profit, depending on how you look at it, primarily within five key categories we build out our verticals. So those would be home, pet, baby slash kid, food slash supplements, and beauty. We'll look at things outside of those categories, but those are the ones that we really have kind of a vertical built up and synergies across the portfolio. The categories where probably are more difficult for us are ones that have, you know, fashion or fad trends associated with them. So if we think about electronics or apparel, part of the reason obviously is we want goods that can stay on for a while. The other part of that is SKU counts. So we're actually looking for fairly concentrated SKU counts within any one of our acquisitions, and the diversification comes across the portfolio, right? So if you start thinking about a pair of women's leggings, it's going to be 10 colors and five sizes, and all of a sudden one pair of women's leggings has 50 SKUs. So it's a little bit harder for us to build those out.
That's interesting. So you mentioned that you're looking for these main categories like pets, home, baby and kids, food and supplements, and beauty. Like, does it kind of like have, do you like, let's say if you have like five or 10 brands in one category, like do you like cross sell like different products to the same customer list, or kind of like how it kind of like ties together for you?
Yeah, there's absolutely synergies across the portfolio, right? If you start thinking about our underwriting cases, we are looking at each business as a standalone business. But as we think about growth and upside, how do we use our portfolio? How do we use our scale to continue to build these businesses and drive greater value? Right. So obviously knowing the category is one thing, understanding the competitors, the landscape, the product dynamics, et cetera. But beyond that, if you think about synergies, supply chain synergies, right? One of our businesses, we were able to reduce costs by 20% by consolidating suppliers with one of our other businesses. You think about, you know, frequently purchased together on Amazon and how can you get your products to do that? So they're showing up together. You think about, you know, supply chain outside of manufacturing, but if you're shipping goods over from China, can you do full container loads versus, you know, partial containers, et cetera, and how do you negotiate prices there? Obviously, as you start thinking about, you know, off Amazon marketing, there's components that are, you know, more top of funnel rather than specific brands or products, where you can kind of go target, you know, baby, go target pet, go target home in specific categories and really find efficiencies there as well.
That's interesting. So interesting word you said, like finding efficiencies. So kind of like as an investor, you're always looking at a what's an upside potential of the business, kind of like knowing what you know that business owners might not know that you know how to execute, for example, right?
Absolutely, right. I think part of the play of being a portfolio and having that scale is we also can invest behind our businesses a little bit more, right? So not only from the perspective of marketing, et cetera, but from the perspective of people. When you're a small mom and pop business, it's hard to bring on, you know, all the expertise, but when we have scale and we can allocate across the portfolio, we have marketing experts, we have inventory experts, we have Amazon experts, we have new product development experts, you know, we have finance experts, et cetera. And as you scale, you're able to use that collateral or use that expertise across the entire portfolio and able to, you know, bring in a bit more from that perspective to really tie it all together and drive value.
How many businesses would you say, like on average, you look at before kind of like, let's say you decide to go like with one, like what percentage typically?
It depends, right? I think there's a bunch of different marketing strategies we use, from more targeted outreach where we would have a higher conversion rate to more mass appeal, right? Where we're looking at getting the Boosted Commerce name out there and just trying to, you know, talk to consumers and sellers, and figure out if they're a good fit for us. So the conversion rate changes depending on how targeted our advertisement and our marketing schemes are. You know, if people are coming to us, they're usually looking to sell. So their conversion is higher there than broad outreach. When we start going to conferences and meeting people there, you know, they're usually coming because they're looking to sell. So it really depends. You know, I think at this point we've evaluated over 2,000 businesses in about our 20 months of being around. So we've seen a lot. We have a lot of data. We know how to compare them to each other, you know, primarily within the Amazon world, but have, you know, there's similarities, there are trends you start seeing, and then can kind of hone in on those trends. Now, Amazon's always changing, so you got to stay up with what's new on Amazon, right? As everybody knows who's a seller there, but certainly, you know, have talked to enough sellers, have seen enough businesses where we know what we're interested in and kind of know what we're looking for from that USP perspective.
Hey guys, people have been asking me how we scale to multiple six figures or even seven figures per month without getting shut down on Facebook. And we have a very sophisticated solution for this that I want to share with you, but it's just like too valuable to give away for free. So if you guys want this solution, just book a call with one of my team members and we'll show you exactly what it is and how it works, and we'll see if that's a good fit for you and for your business. So just book a call with my team member, we'll share it with you so you can scale your business to multiple six figures or even seven figures per month without getting shut down on Facebook, without having inconsistency and with high profitability. So just book a call with my team and I'll see you there. How does collaboration typically work? Let's say the business owner, like, does business owner typically sell you like 100% of the business? Does they remain kind of like in charge of some things and kind of like remain, let's say, as a CEO and still like operating the business for a few years? How typically the collaboration works?
Yeah, let me take a step back and talk a little bit about Boosted, because I think that's important, right? So Boosted was founded end of 19, early 2020 by two serial entrepreneurs, Keith Richmond, who's more on the digital marketing side, who has started many businesses, you know, within that realm. And then Charlie Chanaratspin, who started Charming Charlie, more on the fashion and retail side, grew that to 300 plus stores and really knows kind of the retail side of things. They came together seeing an opportunity, you know, to consolidate mom and pop opportunities in Amazon, right, who have scaled to a great extent and have been able to kind of show that product market fit, but don't necessarily have the team or the expertise to take it to that next level, or just want a cash payout because, you know, all of their money has been tied up in the business and they're looking for a payday. So because of that, what we typically do is buy 100% of the business. We'll have some of the founders stay on as consultants, or some of them stay a little bit more integrated. But ultimately, we're looking for people who are looking to give up control and we can take over. We have a team of, you know, 100 plus operators who sit behind me on the M&A side. I run our M&A team. And as we buy businesses, they get integrated into the Boosted operations, continue to have brand managers, et cetera, running the day-to-day, reporting into the marketing teams, supply chain teams, et cetera, so that we have that scale and continue to build. But ultimately, you know, if the seller wants to stay involved, it's typically not as much in the day-to-day. It's more in kind of helping us think through strategic initiatives, chairman type role. But we also have sellers who, you know, will help us for the first couple months, transition the business, and then are sitting on the beach earning some payday as from their earnout as we continue to work on the business.
That's interesting. So how is market looking right now? Is it like hot market as it was like, let's say, 6 months ago, where there is more kind of like demand for businesses than there is supply, or like how the market looking right now?
Yeah, the market's super hot right now. You know, there's a bunch of press that has come in. There's a bunch of money that's been raised across the industry. You know, we've announced $380 million of capital behind us, and there's a lot of other people who have announced a decent amount as well. So it's a great time to be selling, right? Multiples are at a nice point, and I think there's a lot of demand for these businesses, but there's also a decent amount of supply, right? There's, depending on estimates, you know, high five figures to mid to high five figures in terms of Amazon sellers who are doing over $1 million of revenue. So the opportunity there is continues to be pretty strong. You know, and I think there's enough space here for a lot of aggregators to continue to grow and continue to build up their businesses and build out these platforms.
So this whole trend was like Amazon, like this company, the Amazon consolidators, like integrators, like started like a few years ago, like 2018, 2019. I mean, Trizo was one of them. Like, so Why do you think it happened like 3 years ago? Why, for example, did not happen like 10 years ago when this business started to consolidate?
I think as you look at consolidation and kind of a roll-up strategy and some of the professionalization that's being brought to the industry, Amazon's done a lot to help people who are doing so, right? There was a bit of a wild, wild west there for a while. And it's still, you know, there's still some things that Amazon continues to clean up. But as you've seen, you know, with some of the Chinese competitors going down recently because of black hat tactics and review manipulation, et cetera. But I think, you know, Amazon spent billions of dollars to clean up the marketplace and clean up the infrastructure associated with it, made it a bit more simplistic for scale and to really think about this as a place where, you know, there is continuing money to be made and have a little bit more confidence in what the marketplace looks like as you, you know, raise capital and build out a pretty large business.
In terms of the hiring, because I mean, you must have like amazing people on your team, all of the angles, right? Like the marketing, the operations, the financial. How do you structure your team? I know, for example, Trazio, they have kind of like the core people, core teams like in the United States. And then they have some people like, let's say in Romania, like outsourced teams. Is your team structure similar way?
Absolutely. We have, you know, on the M&A side, we have a decent team here in the United States. We have some support from India, the Philippines, et cetera. And similarly on the operations team, I think there's even more support, you know, globally. We have a decent sized team in the US who's kind of leading the charge with support around the world. So we are, you know, on our businesses 24/7. There's always somebody there to react if something were to happen. There's always monitoring going on and continue to scale from that perspective, you know, as a global company.
Let's say you acquire a business and that's doing for pretty well, like on Amazon. So at what point do you like, whether that is even like a priority, let's say to launch like a Shopify store, right? And just drive traffic there. At what point it happens or like kind of like how it works?
It depends on the brand, right? There's certainly some brands that are going to do better off of Amazon than other. There's some that are Amazon native brands that are more, you know, products associated with being on Amazon, but there's some where we think we can build a larger brand around it, right? So if there's an opportunity to drive business to Shopify while continuing to grow on Amazon also, and that channel isn't hugely cannibalistic to our Amazon business, we'll think about it that way, right? And there's also international expansion. We actually look at brick and mortar as an opportunity where some of our competitors may not, given our founder Charlie's background. So we ultimately want to be omnichannel. We want to be where the consumer is. Right now, a lot of consumers are going to Amazon to start their search, you know, particularly from the e-commerce perspective. Obviously, there's been a lot of transition towards e-commerce, and particularly during COVID. We think those trends are continue to grow, but in really to have that omnichannel presence, you need to be everywhere. You know, brick and mortar stores aren't going away. Some of it might be more marketing than profitability. But how do you play within a world where, you know, the consumers have multiple options? You got to be where they are, and you got to kind of follow the trends that, you know, you're seeing in the consumer world.
Do you typically like flip businesses? Like, for example, you buy the business, you like 10x it, and then you flip it, or you just maintain it as part of your portfolio?
Yeah, we have not flipped any businesses. That's not part of our strategy. Our strategy is to continue to grow the portfolio, kind of become the Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson of the 21st century, focused on e-commerce. So build up a brand of portfolios below us. I think there's, as we talked about at the beginning of this call, right, or podcast, there's a lot more value to being part of a portfolio than it being on an individual basis, given some of the synergies that we have associated with it. So I wouldn't say we would never do it, but it's certainly not part of our day-to-day strategy.
That's interesting. You mentioned like Procter & Gamble. Like, so your goal is to become like a Procter & Gamble, like in specific, like kind of like collection of brands in like similar, like in different like niches that kind of like overlap on some capacity, right? But then have those like efficiencies of scale like Procter & Gamble has.
Absolutely, right? I think there's Procter & Gamble and Johnson & Johnson both have sub-brands associated with them that people may not know are Johnson & Johnson or Procter & Gamble brands, right? So how do you continue to grow those brands using the scale of a parent company, but maintaining the integrity of the brand? I think that's super important, right? When you talk to a lot of these sellers on Amazon, they've built something that is very specific, and they've built something that is, you know, appeals to a certain customer, and you don't want to lose that feel, right? So as we become, you know, larger and larger as a business, you still got to keep that personal touch to each brand and make sure that each brand can kind of thrive on its own.
Interesting. In terms of the advertising, so let's say you acquire a brand, like, do you have, like, let's say Amazon, right? Do you have kind of like a checklist of like different like things that you go through, like product listings, kind of like copywriting, like keywords, like the improvement of the ads, kind of like, do you kind of like send the business to like specific like process to improve its efficiency, like from day one?
Yep. So we have a full due diligence plan that we'll go through, right? That focuses on everything from products to Amazon listings, to marketing, to inventory, to new product opportunities, international opportunities. We'll kind of check all those boxes and put together an operating plan that we think we can achieve based off of what we've seen and where we can add value, right? It's not just a play of let's purchase this and continue to run. We're only looking at businesses where we think bringing in Boosted can support growth in a way that they may not be able to support it elsewhere. What I think differentiates Boosted from some of the competition is, you know, keeping that personal feel and that touch to it. You know, we do care about every one of our brands, and it's, you know, we're large enough where we can get that synergies, but we're also small enough where each one gets the TLC it deserves. Each one kind of, you know, has specific assets associated with it that are different from our portfolio. Now there's some similarities where we can use some of the skill sets we've used from other businesses to get there. But ultimately, you know, I think each of our sellers, we hope, is our biggest advocate, and we've had sellers, you know, introduce us to others. But that's important to us. We have a program called the VIP Circle, where our sellers get access to some pretty fantastic individuals, including previously we've had the former president and CFO of Disney. We've had the founder of Zillow on to really talk with our founder base and continue to help them, you know, drive whatever is next in their career.
Do you end up like sometimes like recruiting or hiring some people who've been like previous like brand kind of like owners, and but then like at the end they decide to join your team and maybe like lead some of like divisions or something like that?
We have. It's not part of our kind of baseline strategy, but if we find, you know, the correct talented people who we think we can fit into Boosted and can add value to the Boosted family of our portfolio, you know, beyond just that one brand, there's certainly opportunities. I would say it's probably less common than more common for that to happen, but we've certainly taken on people from businesses we've bought, and they are very strong valued members of the Boosted family.
Are your team structured like hybrid model, remote, or like in person in the office?
It is a combination. We are a global team, as we talked about earlier. Our U.S. team is really all over the country. You know, we're headquartered in L.A., and we're going to have an office in L.A., and it's going to be kind of a hybrid strategy where people are going to be coming in, but it's not going to be required 5 days a week.
Cool.
You want to get a free course on scaling your e-commerce business with higher profitability, consistency, and without having banned account issues? Just DM me on Instagram. This is my Instagram. It's Alex Fedotov, 3F. Just DM me on Instagram. I'll send you the free course, and also I will send you the access to our private community on Facebook. That is exclusive only for people that do at least $30,000 per month or more. We have a lot of 7- and 8-figure sellers there. So you can network, you can mastermind, you can connect with great people. You can have all of your questions answered. This is very exclusive community that I want to give you invitation to, but you have to DM me. So just DM me on Instagram and I'll get you the access to all of those. And let's get back to the video.
So what are the trends you're seeing, for example? So as more of these, you mentioned that there is enough kind of like room for even like more aggregators to come into this market. So what are the trends you're seeing, for example, like 2022, 2023, like how the market kind of like will look like? And especially if, let's say, economy kind of like, you know, the kind of the growth kind of like slows down, like what will happen with Amazon, you know, in general and with aggregators?
Yeah, I think Amazon certainly saw a COVID bump, right? As people who had never been on Amazon, including my mother, started to buy things on Amazon because they couldn't go to the store anymore, right? So there was a bump associated with that. But, you know, I think there's a lot of continued growth to be had there. If the economy slows down a little bit, right, and you saw a little bit of that in Amazon's numbers for Q3, but they still grew. Despite the fact they didn't hit expectations, they were still growing, right? So that's part of why we do want to be omnichannel. That's part of why we want to be where the consumer is. You know, if there is a pullback, part of this is certainly having the capital to sustain that, right? And if there's a little bit of a blip, to be able to continue to operate and have that, you know, war chest to be able to continue to scale from that perspective. You know, I do anticipate at some point, I don't know if it's now or, you know, when in 2022 or even 2023, there is going to be a pullback, right? It's the cyclical nature of any market. So how are you set up to sustain through that and be able to kind of deal with that adversity? You know, I think being a portfolio of brands allows you to do that in a way that maybe being one or two brands doesn't. So we have discussed, you know, internally what that looks like and how we can kind of continue to scale our business, even if there is a pullback in the overall market. Now, on the other side of that, as we continue to acquire, if that were to happen, you know, there'd be opportunities to acquire businesses at a cheaper multiple also. And so I do think there's a reckoning coming at some point, which is going to, you know, potentially even be a consolidator of consolidators in Amazon. But it's a very interesting topic, as, you know, the whole industry has been growing for a couple of years now, and it is cyclical, right? It's any nature of any business. There's going to be some adversity at some point, and how do you kind of work through that?
Would you see more like potential in, there was, I think Thrasio was started the process of like going public eventually. So is there like more potential, and from your kind of a perspective as an operator, like do you get like a lot more scrutiny? Like if you operate as a public company, for example, versus as a private company, when kind of like in the line of business that you're in?
There's pluses and minuses to both ways, right? I think obviously being public certainly comes with more scrutiny, right? You're going to be having to report on your business on a fairly consistent basis, and everything's going to be examined, you know, by a big group of investors. Being private, even if you're raising private capital, there's certainly, you know, investors that you have to talk with, but it's not as publicly known. That being said, on the public side, if you do have public equity outstanding, you have a currency to go buy other businesses as well, right? So you can offer shares in the business, you can offer additional forms of capital besides just cash, which allows you to think about things in a bit of a different way. So, you know, from a reporting standpoint, from a scrutiny standpoint, I do think it becomes a little bit more of an exam of your business on a day-to-day basis. But there's also benefits in terms of not only, you know, that currency you're talking about, but obviously part of a startup is the equity side of things. And it gives employees, et cetera, an opportunity to cash in some of their, you know, well-earned earnings as well.
Cool. So if any one of the listeners has like a profitable Amazon business, for example, or direct-to-consumer, how does they get in touch with you or someone on your team?
Yeah, so we are constantly looking for new businesses. You know, even if you're not within our size range right now, please feel free to reach out. We'd love to nurture the relationship and continue to understand, you know, what makes your business tick. We love talking to new sellers. We love talking with people. You can reach me at adam@boostedcommerce.com, or if you want to reach out to anybody on my team, acquisitions@boostedcommerce.com. We also have a website, boostedcommerce.com, where you can fill out a form, and we'll come back to you, you know, based off of that form with some thoughts around the business. We'll typically get back to you, you know, within a 24 to 72 hour period once we know the business on whether or not it makes sense for us, and get you an offer quickly. And our process is fairly fast. We closed a deal recently in 28 days. You know, our typical close timeline from LOI is 30 to 45 days. So it's fairly fast. You know, we know what we're looking for. We're not going to, you know, screw you around and kind of look at things that we don't need to and try to push. We want to, you know, get your business into our portfolio and continue to scale it and kind of continue to make money for you and us. So that's the pitch. We'll be there. We're excited to talk to as many sellers as possible. And, you know, and we can also help you think through some of any adversity that you may be having, whether or not it's the right time to sell.
Cool. Adam, thank you so much for making the time for this. I know you're a very busy man as a VP of mergers and acquisitions. So thank you so much for making the time. Guys, we'll have the contact details for Adam and his team below. So if you want to get in touch and see, you know, maybe there's a room for collaboration and maybe you'll sell your business to boost it. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Adam. Thank you so much for making the time for this.
It was a pleasure. Thanks, Alex, for the time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for listening to my podcast. Now, if you're looking for help scaling your e-commerce business or advertising campaigns on Facebook and other platforms, then I want to invite you for a free strategy session. We help entrepreneurs scale from six figures to seven figures and even to eight figures with their e-commerce businesses. So if that's what you're looking for, then I want to invite you. There should be a link somewhere here so you can apply for a free strategy call and we'll see how we can help you out.